listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 2nd already, if you can believe it. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you, and glad to have you joining us live, those that can catch up with us in the chat. We always appreciate your input. We appreciate the back and forth, and thanks to those that are joining us in the archives. We appreciate you taking time in your week to catch up with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. You can find out more about these things that ICMH offers at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, as always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. On to tonight's topic, the meaning of dreams. This is inspired by a comment from our card keeper, Wendy, last week. And, you know, I had this dream once where I had these dogs that kept barking when I'm trying to do a live broadcast and they wouldn't stop. And I woke up in a cold sweat. I was like, oh, thank God it was just a nightmare. But there it is.
Well, there you go. You're still in your dream, Michael. You know, specifically, Wendy was asking about vivid dreams. And I know we've talked about dreams, in the last couple of months, and it's been pretty recent, but thinking we would expand it a little further into maybe understanding consciousness a little more and mechanisms of the brain that could, you know, create vivid dreams. I want to do a little research, and Michael, so I hope you indulge me for a minute. Dr. Matthew Walker is a professor of neuroscience and psychology and a founder director for the Center for Human Sleep Science in California. Now, he believes there are 5 reasons for vivid dreams. And one would be sleep disruptions, waking during a period of REM sleep rather than the end of your sleep cycle. This is an interesting one. Medical conditions that he thinks are linked to narcolepsy, insomnia, and schizophrenia. A third reason would be medications that include beta blockers, antidepressants, blood pressure meds, and some sleep medicines. So the fourth one is stress, anxiety, and trauma, you know, PTSD and such, or substance abuse. Now, I have, and especially in the last year or so, mind you, I've been through cycles of this before, Michael, so I'm not saying is new COVID or something, but I've been through the vivid dream thing. I think that's what Wendy was getting at also, and I don't fall into any of these categories. I don't take any medications.
Well, I think we all fall into one of those categories. I mean, who's not taking some kind of medication for blood pressure, you know, depression, or who's not stressed, maybe not to the extent of PTSD, but I think that might be an extreme form of kind of that intense, vivid flashback, which I think happens even as much in the waking world. But just the intense stress of life. And well, I think one that is kind of a wide, wide net is that sleep disorder. People waking up in the middle of REM sleep. I can't tell you how many times I've done that. So I think you are in good company, Dr. Vicky.
Well, I mean, that's not to say we don't occasionally have, you know, one or more of these things going on. But what has struck me in particular, and again, I'm going to elaborate on this in a second, but I've wondered about schizophrenia because it has to do with dopamine and serotonin in the brain and the brain chemistries. And the reason I've wondered about schizophrenia is I have known several people in my life.
You're talking about me, right?
No, not. You and I could talk about it later, Michael, but I didn't know that. in my conversations with people who are schizophrenic, they are really highly intuitive. And sometimes, of course, to the point where it's really out of balance and they're paranoid. So don't get me wrong. But even when they're, you know, on medications and leveled out, there's still this heightened sense of intuitive thinking. And the other thing I've noticed about several people who have schizophrenia is that they're able to, at least in my experience, they're able to piece together things, information at a level that I go, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way, do you know? And so I've wondered about people who are highly intuitive, what's going on in the brain chemistry as well. So, and I'm leading into this expanding consciousness because I wonder if there's something to do with if we are in a sleep state, having vivid dreams, and you're particularly intuitive, could certain levels be changing where you're tapping into that higher consciousness, if you will? Makes sense, which then time, space, alternate dimensions.
Well,
I've wondered about intuitive people that way, not just about autosensory perception, but knowing things without good reason.
Would you say that there's a difference between the unconscious mind and the, you know, higher mind?
Well, I mean, we could certainly go Freud here, you know, id, ego, superego, unconscious, superconscious, you know, and different levels of consciousness, because I think many people historically have gone into the various levels of consciousness. In my view, and I try to keep it really simple, we have our, very basic awareness, which is a conscious experience, but at what levels are you conscious? You know, three-dimensional, four-dimensional. And then I think that there is the unconscious mind, meaning we are behaving in ways we're not aware of. And then a higher consciousness, super consciousness, which, and I think then kind of in those layers to universal consciousness. Is that, if that makes sense, it's kind of in layers of how far we're and what the density is and what we're tapping into. And I think it's all occurring at the same time. It's just how do we kind of define that? So for me, and I've noticed when I go through periods of vivid dreams, one thing I think is age has a lot to do with it, because, you know, we are changing. And hormones are different, blah, blah, life experience. But I think that it has been at times when the world is in big changes. And we're obviously in some pretty big changes now. But
I feel like I'm just stuck on, you know, blah, blah, life experience. I feel like that could be a bumper sticker.
Life experience, blah, blah. I know everybody's got a story, right? Some are bigger, longer, whatever, than others. So trust me, the older you get, the bigger the story.
Oh, and true. You know, and I, well, I think, you know, there's never, and we kind of talked about this before the broadcast too, but there's never any one reason for anything. You know, obviously there's a lot of reasons that we dream in general, and the vividness of that dream is, I think, dependent on several factors, I think, including whether you wake up in REM sleep or the power of the emotion that you're feeling. You know, it said one of the popular theories, and these are all theories because it's almost impossible to know something that goes on in the abstract mind kind of thing, that dreams are a method of processing information, emotions, and, you know, just new experiences into life, and also perhaps training our minds for potential experiences, which I've always found fascinating. So when we have these vivid dreams, you know, is it, you know, the unconscious mind trying to tell us something, you know? And I think there's a lot of symbolism in dreams, perhaps, but I've also been told by those, you know, in the field, and I kind of agree with it, that, you know, more than the images that you see in a dream, you should focus on the emotion and kind of like the roles.
Absolutely. Yeah. I totally agree. But before we go any further, I'd like to bring up a few things going on in the chat room here. Dr. Zach is with us tonight. Thanks, Zach. He said that he's often felt people who suffer with certain types of schizophrenia, and yes, there are different types, had little or no control over their reality filter. They're just seeing things that we can't because they biologically lost touch with this reality. And that's kind of what I was referring to, and I'm totally with you on that, Zach. I think that there's something to be said there. He also adds that when his grandmother was in her later stages, she talked a lot about cameras being everywhere, and he thought she was a little crazy. But then when he thought about it, there were 8 cameras in the room, 2 on each of our iPhones, which you see in that heightened sensitivity. You know, and again, she's getting older, later stages, and I think some of the walls are coming down of this reality, you know, and the spirit is more awake, so that to me suggests her consciousness and
sensitivity.
And absolutely,
we become so desensitized, we adapt to things, we have sensory adaptation. You know, it's the same thing when you have something that occurs over and over, your brain filters it out to let you focus on other things in life. Comes across anything. It could be sounds you could tune out. It could be smells that you tune out. You know, you go to your own house, it doesn't smell like anything. You go to somebody else's house, it has a unique, different kind of vibe to it. And that's all about sensory adaptation. We stop noticing the things that are constant. And yeah, I think that was a great way to say it, Dr. Vicky, that, you know, it is, you know, the filtering.
Well, Eileen has made a good point here. She said since she started meditating consistently, she's had intense dreams, and they're very colorful, and the sounds are very clear. So that's that vivid kind of dream. And so again, altering the consciousness and the filter changing, you know, how we are, just our awareness is shifting a little bit, and allowing some of these other things to happen. Dr. Jeff has said that he was recently diagnosed with sleep apnea and has found himself dreaming again since he began CPAP therapy. It's interesting. A friend of mine also uses a CPAP, and she's mentioned that her dreams change too. Mind you, she sleeps better, and you can go into REM. <you know? laughs>
And well, and there's still even, you know, kind of more to dig into. I do want to mention this because it was Wendy's idea for a topic, and she had mentioned it because of a particular vivid dream that she'd had. And in the dream, she had shared this in the chat in our live audience, and she had said that she was, and I need to turn the automatic scrolling off on that so I can read this. A vivid dream where she was standing on a porch at night looking at the stars, and a white deer started flying out of a star, and one of them came down and touched his face to hers. He rubbed his face in her hand, and then he flew off. And it was very sweet. And, you know, just the imagery right there is, you know, very, the imagery itself is vivid. You can almost picture yourself in the dream right along with it. And this is something I don't know if you're aware, I don't know if you know anything about, I don't, that dreaming of a white deer, if it's rare or what it might signify.
Oh, it's rare. Very rare. So this is where I would take a dream in a very different direction. In indigenous cultures, that kind of an experience is the deer talking to you. And so, in other words, your spirit name, how do I, see, I could go off on a big tangent. I'm trying to keep this really simple. It's, there are four names in a lifetime, what you're born with, and then as you evolve, you're given four names. And sometimes you know it yourself, but very often an elder would give you a name. But if you went to an elder, and said, oh, it was a very profound dream, and the white deer, it came flying out of a star, then an elder would say, that would be your name. The white deer has come to you, and you've changed it. It's like you're now in a transition of a new stage of your life. So in Indian country, that would be your new name is white deer, which that's where we go. A dream can be very significant in the spirit world. Altered consciousness, the spirit world, we also coexist with nature.
Absolutely. I mean, we are nature.
Exactly. So we're all part of that, all that interface. And that's where, again, when you're having vivid dreams like that, it's the higher super other consciousness working to, you know, to come through. In other words, if it can't get your attention in the daytime, it's going to come at night when, you know, you're sleeping. So I find that really extraordinary, Wendy, and only you know yourself and kind of what kind of changes you've been going through. And so, I mean, that it would fit. That's what I'm saying. I also was back in the early 90s when I had an experience with an elk. And it's a bit, it's too long of a story to tell you, but it was so profound. And that's what's coming to my mind as you say your story, Wendy. I actually contacted an elder and went through a little ceremony, and I told him about my dream. And that's how I came to have the name Waske Susku, which is Elk Woman in Cree. So that's, you know, it was very, it's a very big thing. Interesting for me, though, when there's other layers in that. Again, I don't want to go on a tangent here, but the elk, I thought, geez, why an elk? You know, why couldn't that be something like cool, like eagle, you know, or something? And of course, you know, I'm still younger. But when I understood the properties of the elk and the nature of the elk, its behavior, I went, oh, did I ever identify with that? Yeah, that's, and there was one other little thing in studying the elk, learning about myself. Elk have, the eye teeth of an elk is actually ivory. And that's where you see a lot of important ceremonial things with elk teeth. That's to represent, and you can buy them in plastic now. They adorn the ceremonial outfits with them, but it's made out of plastic now because of the abundance. You don't go kill elk for their ivory. And what was strange about that for me, Michael, is that I had five wisdom teeth. So an extra wisdom teeth, again, in Indian country, is somebody who's born with intuition. And again, elk are very intuitive, very sensory animals. And so it, again, when you study that white deer, Wendy, and you do some research about the nature of deer, you'll come to know a little bit more about yourself. So dreams and whatever they are, you know, it's trying to get through to you. You know, it's speaking something to you. I think
that's a great way.
Some dreams are just stupid, Michael.
Well, you know? Sometimes. I mean, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar, but sometimes dreams mean something. And that was just, I don't know, the only thing that came to my mind. I kept thinking of of the Elk Lodge being a people, a group of people that came together from these different kind of spirit animals. Of course, I don't know if that's a that's an American kind of club thing. I don't know if they're in Canada, but you know, it is interesting, and that kind of idea of dreams perhaps linking us to the, you know, the superconsciousness of existence. But there are, you know, like I said earlier that we had talked about, that there's never any one reason for anything. There are multiple reasons why we dream, and we might have different dreams for different reasons. Audra in chat had mentioned that she rarely dreamed now, but when she was younger, she had a lot of vivid dreams. And I, you know, I still have some very dreams that kind of just really hit you. But when I was a kid, I would have these just, you know, very vivid dreams, you know, that I still remember to this day. And I was just going to say, it's just fascinating how they stick with you. And I've always thought it interesting, the notion of us, you know, processing information. And, you know, it's just the way in which we do it, and also processing our own emotional things that we're battling with at the time. And then, of course, you know, is there an element of divination? How many times have you been there and thought, didn't I dream this? I remember this from a dream, this is something I'm living through right now. What does that mean? The other thing that I need to point out is you said that it's a mark of potential intuition when you have an extra wisdom tooth, a fifth instead of four. What happens if you have no wisdom teeth?
Oh, I'm not going there, Michael.
I never had any wisdom teeth. I never got them, so I never had to worry about them.
Well, maybe you're highly evolved because apparently we're growing out of them. So there you go.
Or maybe that's why I have no intuition.
No, you have intuition. You certainly do. Hey, I have got to talk about Charles and his story in the chat. My God, I'm just chomping at the bit to get here.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Yeah, he was camping once.
Oh, I missed this
one. He had a vivid dream of a moose protecting him from a grizzly bear on the other side of the creek where he was camping at. He woke up, restarted his campfire, and then stared at the stars. 10 minutes later, he saw three UFOs, and he can't lose the memory of that dream. That is so exciting. It is so exciting. Now, I'm going to tell you the properties of a moose. Moose are born with their eyes open, and they're the seers. Anybody who is moose people, who have been given their name or have that spirit animal as moose, they're really intuitive, sensitive people, very wise. Bears are healers. So, like, we have Saskatoon berries out in Western Canada, and it's called sacred soup when you boil up. And so it's one of the things we would give in a ceremony, a healing ceremony, is you make up Saskatoon berries with, you know, it's wonderful stuff. It's so tasty. But that's for the bear. And you would always, you know, feed some to the spirit. So you'd go outside, put something out there for them. You're feeding the spirits. But in this case, you're feeding the bear because bear is the healer. So you have an intuitive sense here talking to you, Charles, the moose, and that insightfulness, and the bear, which is a healer. And I'll bet you turned a page in your life seeing three UFOs. Because, again, we're all connected. And it was talking to you in your dream. That vibration was there. And I think that's really cool. So
that is very cool.
And that's a good one.
The imagery, and you know, that's something that I would not have guessed, and I would not have thought that a bear would signify healing. What being the vicious killing machines that they are, of course. But but no, I think, you know, I get it, maybe with the idea of hibernation, with the rejuvenation aspect, perhaps. Yeah, very interesting. And
well, this one thing about being an elk is that an elk is the only animal that a bear will fight to the death for. They're very territorial. If they make the kill and kill an elk, nothing is going to take that elk. And they can smell elk for miles and miles away. And so I'm always wary of bears or people who are bear, like bear people, spirit people. So all the interactions of nature and the things that we can learn from that, it's very exciting.
It is. It's exciting. It's fascinating. And it also gives you a peek into indigenous cultures and these belief systems that have a more, well, not more, have a deeper connection with the natural world than, mm-hmm. you know, many of our modern philosophies. But
taking another tangent here, Ronnie has said in the chat, most vivid dreams have been of people who have passed, or is people who's been close to have passed on, and the dreams will stay with for days and after having them. I say that those are people visiting you in your dream space. I really do believe that. That's my experience. So
I always
spirits,
like to think so.
That's their way of kind of coming in and interacting. And I think, though, the caution would be the interactions of the dream, because we interpret from the point of view of our reality, and it's when they're trying to give a message, let's say, or just that reassurance, we sometimes interpret it wrong, because the view of the spirit from the spirit realm is different than our view of reality from here, if that makes sense. So
Oh, absolutely. Just
have to watch how we interpret it.
It's all about interpretation, isn't it? And you know, that's kind of where the trick is, and that's where also it often becomes unverifiable, because what does it mean? You know, how do you interpret it when you look at something to mean something, perhaps pretending to that alludes to the future? You know, it's easy to look in the past and see how different things can be interpreted certain ways to fit, but you know, it's. But it is something that we have to do. We each do it with our, you know, we go with our gut, kind of our instinct, right? We take all of the experience we have in life and that kind of sixth sense that we all have that kind of guides us in our intuition and instinct. And, you know, it is just a fascinating mystery in dreams, because they're a link to the human mind. And we didn't even get close to getting into lucid dreaming yet. Which is an entirely other aspect of this idea of vivid dreams, lucid dreams, and more importantly, people that can control their ability to dream and create a lucid dream. It's like having your very own holodeck, you know?
You know, again, as metaphysicians, because we all are here, you know, it's pursuing information and seeing sensibility to altered states, you know, science and spirituality, science and philosophy. And I think that it all does kind of weave together. And we're just, you know, expanding our awareness and seeing where that goes. You know? And I say right now we're in a lot of changes, and there's a lot of, like the consciousness of Earth right now is so busy. We just also have to be mindful that, okay, from one direction you can say, oh, we're really stressed. But I think at another level, higher level, it's we have a very busy consciousness right now. So we have to be a little bit aware of not overindulging in translating dreams. If you're having a lot of dreams, understand that the, you know, the unconscious, subconscious minds are all at work. And be kind to yourself.
Good advice always.
Yeah. You know, this is about the time where we're going to move on to some cards, Michael. I've, you know, everybody's mentioned what a great topic this is. Maybe we'll save Lucid Dream for another future program.
Yeah. Yeah, and, absolutely. Something to delve into more deeply.
Yeah. Well, I think we could, you know, another sequel after a sequel.
You know, could do that. We're going to turn this into a franchise.
Yeah, there we go. So anybody wanting a card, cards pulled tonight, let's get after it. You know, time goes by so fast, Mike.
It does.
We just...
well, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, while we're waiting for the audio to catch up with the people listening live. Time literally goes by faster now than it did when I was a child. I swear it does. The second hand goes around the clock faster. I can't prove it. I just know it's true.
Not if you're watching it.
Well, that's my point. I do watch it. I'm looking at my watch right now, and I'm thinking seconds never used to go by that quickly. I remember in school or in, you know, the equivalent of church when I was a kid, watching that clock and just watching that go tick, tick, tick. Anyway. Now it's going by way too quick. But that being said, we have gotten to that point where we have some names starting to pile up. So I believe we have Jamil first, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And Jamil, let's see. You have number 37, groundedness. All right. Number 37, groundedness. Remain grounded by looking for evidence that supports or refutes claims or beliefs. Have a compelling and defensible basis for your beliefs, especially esoteric beliefs. An absence or denial of evidence does not assure a truthful conclusion. Be willing to examine your beliefs, assumptions, and opinions and weigh them against facts. Suspend judgment until you have considered all of the facts or have more facts to uncover. Adjust opinions when new facts are found.
Well, in support of that is the Three of Hearts here, Jamil, is, you know, sometimes we have those moments of feeling really happy and we have to like bring it down a notch. I think you have something going on here, something about to happen that could be, you know, really quite elated. And it's just keep it on a level. Equally, if we get too low, we have to make sure we bring that up a bit and try to level out our emotions, not any great highs, not any great lows. And but I think staying grounded, even during happiness, and bathe in that rather than buy into the highs of it. So anyway, I think the message here is that you got some good stuff going on. That's exciting.
Good message. Always exciting.
Yeah.
All right. We have Dr. Edward.
We do.
Dr. Edward, I have number 31, sacred obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value, value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling your sacred obligations.
Wow, you got the Hanged Man in support of that, which is some big realizations. I think it never ends, really. It's just sometimes it's a little more profound. We go through phases and stages of life where our awareness expands. And I think what you're coming into for yourself is understanding your spirit self in a brand new way, Edward. So it's in, even with all the sacrifices that you've had to make, it's allowed you a different kind of take on life. And I think you're embarking on a new one. So that's, it's profound. And I feel a lot of peacefulness about it as well. So it's sacred obligations, the greatest one is to yourself, really, and to your higher self. So with the Hanged Man, that's pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we have Ronnie next. Ronnie, I have a first wild card of the evening, wild card number 8, freedom. One of my personal favorites. Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose, for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Whew, well, Ronnie, you got the death card in support of that. Don't panic. Nobody's going to die.
there aren't any bears around.
I know. Freedom with the death, that death symbol, is a rebirthing. And again, a realization for yourself that nobody owns you. You own you. And I really feel that there's a message here that It reminds me of something my oldest daughter just went through not too long ago. Something triggered it, and she just felt free, like not tied to false obligations that she had been doing. And she said at some point she looked back in her life and felt like she'd been living in a 15-year bubble, you know, and everything just became lighter. And like being reborn in some way. So there may be something here that you're letting go of also, Ronnie. And whew, freedom. I love that. It's exciting.
All right. And chat's going by too fast. Let's see who we have next. All right. Of course,
Charles.
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 Charles, I have, let's see, number 9, Empowerment. Good card, number 9, Empowerment. Taking your power back is literally all-powerful and absolutely priceless. It alone is the solution in principle for virtually every problematic circumstance in your life, from a bad relationship to spiritual harassment. Retaining your power means to retain your wholeness. When you are whole, you are empowered. Empower others by doing no harm and doing right. Sharing the best of yourself is encouraging and uplifting to yourself and others.
Oh, Charles, the Six of Clubs, and how I translate this is empowerment with the Six of Clubs is nearing the conclusion of a project, nearing the end of something, like a celebration of sorts, and feeling empowered by that and success. So I feel like you're getting very, very close to feeling gratified, feeling successful in something that you've been putting a lot of energy into. So again, a really positive card. So it's turning out good is what I'm trying to say.
I always like it when things turn out good. It's way better than the alternative.
Sure. We have Eileen next, Michael.
And for Eileen, I have number 34, Take and Release Ownership. All right. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, the Queen of Diamonds in support of that, Eileen, I like it. And I think this is especially where work and finances may come into play. That's where I'm going to take this. And so that looking at responsibilities, maybe you've been taking on too many, or maybe you like to take on some more. So that take and release ownership. I see this as you wanting to advance, but also wanting to let go of a few things so you can advance. And I like that. So there's a shift here. And what I see also, and I'm feeling this, is a positive increment or something in finance and positioning. So good for you. I like it.
All right. Good message.
Dr. Jeff. Yep. We're on track, Michael.
All right. We have wild card number 6, Dr. Jeff, Entropy. Let's see. Within the cycle of life, there are useful energies, or low entropy, that can wane to uselessness, or high entropy. Their energy stands still and their entropy increases. They no longer give value to the evolution of life. This can include an attitude or behavior that requires adjustment to once again take a new step in renewal and rebirth, thus lowering one's entropy. When one seeks to be part of the solution rather than part of the problem, that one lowers his or her entropy, and the world is a better place.
I like that card, and especially partnering with the Three of Clubs, and that's looking into the future. What changes can you make that gets you on your path? So it's like isolating little things that you can do and watching things move forward. So eye on the goal and changing your energy frequency that lowers your entropy so that you have the action to support that. So I like that, Jeff. I think you're on the move. Things are rocking.
All right. And next up we have our card keeper herself, Wendy. All right, Wendy, I have number 13, Positive Consciousness. Definitely fitting. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude even in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Hierophant in support of that, Wendy. It's we already know, like, you love your home, you like that, you know, you like to cook and you like to do lots of things, but you also work and balance that out. Positive consciousness, I think it is that recentering back at home a little bit. Yes, you have a lot going on there, but being able to compartmentalize a little better so that you feel more insulated, I think, or feeling a little more stable at home. And like when you come home, leave that other stuff at work. I was going to say another word.
Something other than stuff? What could it possibly have been?
That stuff. Leave that at work and outside the home. And so I think that you're creating and wanting to create. And I think spring is really important to you because you need bright, light things around you now. So I can feel your energy wanting to do that. That's good. Positive consciousness. I love that.
Very nice.
Audra.
All right, Audra. I have number 30, greatness to deliver. Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution, not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world. Good card. And Audra, you are very much valued.
As the Queen of Clubs, yes, you are. And that's the Overseer. She has insightfulness, intuition. She can see long-term, even though she knows what needs to be done short-term to get to that long-term goal. And maybe short-term, it's not ideal, but it's the best move to make, like playing chess, right? The best move to make to get toward the end game. So I think that's what you're doing, making sure that you're staying in line with your greatness to deliver, Audra. But you have to, you know, maybe navigate a few things here and there and to get where you're going. So I say you're well on your way. You have all the skills and all the energy and support. So that's a good one.
All right. And we have Dr. Kevin. I have number 25, power of belief. Very powerful force indeed. Belief is the most powerful force in the universe. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. It's also important to realize you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. Ponder your beliefs to see if they are healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction.
Well, in support of power belief, Kevin, it was the Four of Spades. And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I drew another one, and it was a star. And you could be just taking a time out for a minute. Or, it's, you know, when we start shifting our ideas or our beliefs, sometimes we just need to assimilate that, let everything rest, filter out some of our nonsense, because you know, some of it is, and allow new things, new ideas to come in. So that power of belief in the Four of Spades is just letting things percolate, you know, digesting, and have that repose, if you will, because that belongs with that card. And the star is setting your heights greater. Of course, the star represents water, and water is that flow of life. So some realizations. So I think, you know, sometimes to shut down the brain is a good idea, and then new stuff just starts coming in. So I think you're in a shift of that sort.
I think that's a great point, and just makes me think, when our conscious mind quiets down, the notion that we only use 10% of our brain power is a misnomer. We're using our brain all of the time, all of it. And our brain is trying to work on things in the background, and when you can quiet that conscious noise, it allows the processing to do its work. All right.
Absolutely. You know, we have Dr. Mike. He made an interesting comment, and I'm not going to let it go, Mike. He says, I'm not sure what I think about cards, so hit me with one. Now, I'm not sure what to think about your comment. So you don't think about You don't know what you think about this process, what's being said. It's interesting. But it reminds me, it just kind of triggered a thing where I get my really pessimistic first-time male clients. And I said, well, I don't care if you believe in anything. Sit down. That's why you're here. We have a talk. And they go, oh, think about it. Way to go.
Well, I was going to touch on it a little bit myself, too. Probably not in the same way. But what I will say is that, you know, what do these cards mean when they come from me? Well, the cards, when I pull them, are it's random mathematical probability of what they're going to be pulled. And hopefully the message that we read along with it is something that might spark something with you, might make you think about a situation, maybe something to store away in the future. And I know, Dr. Vicky, you come through with a bit of an intuitive kind of idea and something that might, you know, kind of key in. And that's why we always appreciate getting the feedback, because then it kind of indicates, you know, how on track are we? So, for example, Dr. Mike, I did hit you with a card. It's number 14. Energy shift and new chapter.
Mm.
Let's see. Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new.
Well, energy shift, new chapter with the nine of diamonds is more domestic, in my view. So it might be things changing in the home, kind of the home environment changing. It could even mean a move, to be honest, or looking at moving. And at the very least, it could be some renovating, shifting around the furniture, you know, something like that. But that energy shift, new chapter. See, the Nine of Diamonds is imagine someone in their garden of life, you know, kind of loving, walking through their gardens in their home. And so it's satisfaction in one's home life and being at peace with that. So I think that there's a shift in that way. And you can get back to us, Mike, about that or not. But it's, I think, actually, one of the things that came to me was you could get news of moving or a place that you want to be. So that's where I'm going to go with that.
Interesting new chapter.
But,
All right. I think that's about everybody for tonight on our cards. I didn't see any of the names that I was scrolling through.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has been a fascinating discussion. I think we're going to... Dr. Mike says thinking about retirement.
Dr. Mike, there you go.
And... you know, here's what I'll say. You know, it's interesting when I again don't have any intuition. There is, of course, with, you know, tarot, there's a randomness involved too with what, you know, probability is trying to reveal. But mathematics, probability, how things shift against probability, it kind of seems like the universe trying to talk to you, or maybe that's just us trying to make sense out of chaos. But this has been a fascinating topic, getting into the mystery of dreams, kind of one of the innermost. Experience is one of the most, you know, universal experiences to humanity, you know, these powerful dreams that we feel. And, you know, I'm looking forward to talking about it in the future. We'll have to kind of get some ideas about kind of touching on it for a topic coming up. But, you know, I will, we've been talking about a few things in chat kind of at the tail end of this, after the cards of, you know, dreaming about work. Oh, I've been there. I've dreamed about work so many times. I had a dream about work the other night where I was trying to get ready for a client appointment, and I was, you know, a lot of prep work to do, and things kept coming up, and I couldn't get to it, and it was getting closer and closer, and I wasn't even close to being ready for having all these materials that I needed to have on hand, and da-da-da-da-da. Then I woke up, and like, oh, thank God, it's real. I have another hour before I have to go to work, okay? And another thing, some jokes going around about TV. How many times have you fallen asleep and had a dream corresponding to the show that you were watching on TV when it was on when you fell asleep?
That's funny. Yeah.
Happens all the time. And it's just an interesting thing about our minds and how we might hear things and experience things in the physical world around us, and we interpret it through that information processing. But
I know people who cannot watch bad movies, horror movies, violent movies because they have nightmares for weeks. It's interesting, hey? Some psyches just can't cope.
I'm telling you. When Usually I am not too bad, I'll tell you. I watched one episode of Game of Thrones, and those that are in the know would know, with that famous duel with the mountain where guy does not end up well. Watched that episode, like, wow, that was a bad ending. And I'm thinking, well, time to go to bed. I just felt uncomfortable the rest of the night. But, we're wrapping up.
Good program.
Good program.
You know,
we're wrapping up.
This is the beginning of March, 2022. And I know there's a lot of things going on in the world. I want to remind everybody, not that I need to, but keep cool, keep calm, you know, carry about your life in as positive a way as you can, and, you know, send lots of good energy to the people of Europe and Eastern Europe, and hopefully all this will just calm down here, all this other stuff, so...
Absolutely. And, you know, absolutely would be remiss. In right now, of course, there's a lot going on in the world. There's a lot going on in Eastern Europe and Ukraine. And this is, you know, horrible. You hate to see it. It's not new either. There's been a lot of pain and suffering that's been going on that doesn't get the same attention that should also be acknowledged. But still, our heart's got to go out to the people that are suffering in Ukraine. So just absolutely good mention. And things... ebb and flow. Things will get better. They always get better. And, you know, just a little bit of hope. So, thank you, Dr. Vicky. I always appreciate your time, and I appreciate
you, Michael. Thank you.
It's a mutual love fest right now. And we look forward to everybody, please, joining us next week. We always appreciate your input. And we're going to be shooting an email out to let you know what our topic's going to be. We're looking forward to it. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Have a good week.